With our very special guest tonight, Red Elk. Lots more to talk with him about. The next hour, I'll open up the phone lines. We'll give you the privilege. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Red Elk, this was a little before my time here, but did you ever go hunting for that Mel's Hole? Remember that story?
Oh, yes. That's the one that got me with Mr. Bell in first place.
Yeah, all right. What happened about that?
Well, it's there. I've been called all kinds of liar and stuff like that. It's covered by an outbuilding, anybody crazy enough to go on that piece of land, they're out of their tree. You know, it's got plants that are plastic, that they're sound sensors. It's well protected. This little outbuilding is maybe 16 by 16, you know, all the way around, maybe. And oddly enough, I thought the roof lifted. But no, it opens like a book. And at certain times, they open this up, and big ships come down and unload. And yeah, it's there. And I don't care what you believe. I don't care if you think I'm nuts. I'm not here to lie to people. And I moved some 8.5 miles away from where I had been during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears that the UFO activity that was sporadic, but quite a bit of it, has just about died down in Kittitas County. And that hole has a lot to do with it. And that hole is not a bottomless pit. It's 27 to 27 and a half miles deep. It's a blowhole from Mount Rainier. And I'll say this, there's another hole similar to it in depth and stuff. And the Indians, the Yakimas, they keep that secret. And with good reason, otherwise a damn government will have that too. But nevertheless, yes, it's there, and I ran into all kinds of trouble with it. I've been followed by helicopter, one of those black ones. I was watching because it was about the right time for one of the giant UFOs to come in and hover over it, and late at night. And next thing I know, here's the police, and, you know, I'm not breaking any law. I'm off of the road quite a ways, and I'm not on private land. And in the middle of the night, and I had my camera and stuff, and I just sitting there with the light on, writing a letter and watching that spot. And then another cop comes, and lo and behold, it's a policeman that I've known since I was a younger man. And he leaned down, and he said, "Red Elk, we know about Mel's Hole. Be careful." And then he stood up, and he said that in a whisper. And he stood up and said to the other two sheriffs, he said, "He's all right. I know Red Elk. He's not doing anything wrong." Oh, okay. So off they went.
That left you alone. So what is it about that hole that UFOs would show up over?
Well, it's connected to other below-ground tunnels now. And the Draculian race of the lizards that everybody thinks I'm crazy use that to load and unload things onto the ship that comes down. A giant ball is one of them. The other one looks like about the size of an aircraft carrier. And they use it to bring stuff in down into their lower cavern living areas. And unfortunately, what they unload or, you know, take out of the hole are sacred to them, sacred bones. They murder people and do certain things with it, then grind it and put it in white gold, and it's for longevity. And gosh, I took another medicine man with me over there, and it just scared the daylights out of him. They had murdered a red-headed woman from Issaquah, I think.
And these are actual-looking lizard people.
Yeah, they're people, and soul bearers in that sense. There are brothers and sisters. You know, we're not alone in this world of planetary systems
but,
or anything.
But they're violent, I guess?
Oh, yeah. They think they're God. If there's a God, they don't believe in it. And if there's a God, they're it. If there's a devil, they're it. They can do anything they want. And I've had my run-ins with them. And but they're very, very real. I told before getting a letter, it's sitting there at my desk at home. I ran across it just last week and pulled it out. A lady in New York or New Jersey, as a kid, she and her little brother and a bunch of friends snuck into an abandoned building and were playing down in the basement amongst the pipes, and they heard a noise and stuff, and turned around, and there was a lizard child. Oh. And they all took off. She literally said, "Red Elk, I'm ashamed to admit it. I pulled my brother out of the, going out the window and went over the top of him, and I peed my pants."
Oh, God. Red Elk, do they look human at all? I mean, do they have
no
human features at all?
Well, eyes, legs.
Eyes, legs. They walk on
tail. Tail and dragon, and they've got, their skin is basically scaly. They look like an upright walking lizard, and
are they green or what?
Well, they've got a mottled green, khaki and
okay.
color combination, and some are, you know, none of them are really tall. Maybe 6'2" at the very tallest, but generally our size, you know, 5'7", 5'9".
Do they look like, you know, snake heads or what?
Well, they got a lizard face.
They do have a lizard face.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And, but they're people. You know, I look at, as I call you brother and sister, I call them brother and sister.
Even as violent as they might be?
Well, certainly they are very violent. But I'm not afraid of them, so that makes them afraid of me.
You wouldn't introduce them to your friends, though, I take it, would you?
I have. But I guarantee you they're with me when it happens.
Yeah, they don't want to leave your side.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so these lizard people would be extraterrestrials, I take it.
Yes, yes. But they were the first group of outer space beings, if you want, that came to Earth after man was first made.
All right.
And literally the first soul-bearing people after Lucifer came here and set up his base in the center of our Earth. Lucifer and his angels were first, and then, people were first. Lucifer and the angels came. And then they came, and they have spent centuries and centuries, eons down there, you know, trying to, they got an agenda, and I've got the book called The Agenda, a booklet, and I sell that. And frankly, I don't mind pushing it. I need the money. I got a lot of things to do, and I'm deep in debt. So if you want it, you know, just giving me money, you get something.
Well, if it's a good book, it's a good read. Right?
Well, I'm not sure if it's a good book, but it's an interesting one, just like the one I'm doing now on short stories. But nevertheless, they're real people. And you know, I love Lucifer. Can you believe that? I truly love Lucifer.
Who, you do?
Well, yes. Stop and think about it. You're a Christian, Ben, aren't you, right?
Sure.
All right. God is in all things. Do you believe that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't I mean, I don't go running off to church every Sunday.
Well, good. Stay away. But, you know, just talk to Papa and love him. And never mind.
Well, would you be considered a Luciferian?
No. Let me explain.
All right, I'll give you that.
God is in all things.
Yes.
Now, in time travel, I'm an expert in time travel. I literally can claim that. That's one of my fortes. Time travel and imagery is my specialty at the Inner Hyoka. Each have specialties. And Lucifer went, God called him, Dad called him, and said, "Look, I want to make something special. I love you angels, I made you angels, but, you know, and you love me, and that's why you're serving me. But I want to give people, I want to invent a new thing called people with souls. And they need to love me or not. I want to give them self-will choice. And they can't have it unless they have another area to go to. They've got me, or they will have me like you have me. But I need some a choice.
The opposite.
Right. And I would like to know, now this is his second in command. I'd like to know if you'd be willing to do that job. And Lucifer, loving God, and said, well, yes, sir, you know. And he said, now, wait a minute. I'm paraphrasing, but I was there. I watched what went on. Anyway, he says, I want to warn you. You will turn your back on me and try to overcome me. And the event of Peter saying, oh, it won't happen, and Jesus said, you know, get thee behind me, Lucifer, you know, Satan.
Yeah.
This is, that is a little event of what went on in this meeting. And he told him it would be, and Lucifer, dumbly, couldn't believe his own God, that he knew that they've been together for centuries and centuries. And he loved God dearly, and there's no way I'm going to turn away from you.
He really had no choice, you're saying.
Well, he had a choice. The choice was this. No, I don't want to take the assignment. Find somebody else.
So he takes it.
So because of his love for God, he takes it. Feeling honestly in his great heart that it would not, God is a little loopy on this one. You know, I'll never not love God. I'll never want to take his place. And that's the way it went. Well, it turned out that God is always right, and God was right. And but thank God for Lucifer, because if Lucifer wasn't here doing his job of temptation only, we're the ones to grab it and run.
Well, but didn't Lucifer, Red Elk, become evil?
Yeah. Yeah. His slowly, over eons of time, He got to really want to be God.
He started to enjoy this.
You betcha. And anyway, without Lucifer, we would not have self-will. We would not have choice. Isn't that a wonderful gift of God, to allow Lucifer to exist? And isn't it wonderful of Lucifer to say, yeah, I'll do it, not really expecting that he'd turn his back on that.
Well, then things kind of got out of hand with him.
Right, right. And can't you just love the whole plan, the whole reason for it? I love Lucifer, and I tell you, because I love him, I mean, it's an agape love for him. Because I love this great being, he's scared to death of me. I've faced him. I have actually faced the true Lucifer.
What does he look like?
Well, it was so dark in my bedroom after seeing him, I hit my nose with my hand trying to see how far away I can see my fingers.
Yeah.
And when he was there, he was so dark it made the room look like it was in dusk. And he had totally undressed. No sexual organs at all. None of the angels have them. And a body people would just die for. You know, man, perfect. About 22 foot tall.
22 feet?
Oh, yeah, but there's bigger angels than that. But nevertheless, no horns, wasn't red, no long tail. He was blacker than black.
Wasn't running around with a pitchfork.
No.
Did he look human, facial?
Oh, yeah, beautiful angel, beautiful. Except for that face that just hates God. It just ruined it, you know. Absolutely.
Do you think deep down inside he wishes he didn't take that assignment?
I think so. I do. I do. Deep, deep, deep down inside. Oh, and speaking of down inside, I've asked people to get a pencil and paper. Let me get off the subject here. There's something very important. If anybody that's listening knows a doctor or a nurse or is one, or someone who is an amputee or someone caretaking an amputee, I want you to take this information down, if you will permit it, Mr. North.
Yes, sir.
This is a healing way. Now, when I got my toe cut off and the pain started coming and the pain pills started leaving, Oh, my gosh, the pain in that non-existent toe was terrific. Not in the stump, but the toe. And so, okay, I'll take care of that. And I did. Well, later on that night, they were waking me up every hour and pumping all kinds of crud in me. And the head nurse and two other nurses came in at the same time. And one of the nurses, I don't remember which, said, "Have you felt phantom pain yet?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, but I took care of it." And all three nurses just stopped what they were doing and looked at me. And she said, "You what?" I said, "I took care of it. I don't have it anymore." And she says, "It's impossible. You can't do it." And I looked at her and I laughed. I said, "I'm a medicine man. Don't tell me it's impossible. I know how to do these things." Well, they went, when my surgeon came, they evidently saw him. The very early next morning, he's coming in to swaddle my foot, check it out. And he said, "I hear that you have a remedy of getting rid of phantom pain, phantom foot, phantom arm, phantom finger, thumb, whatever." And I said, "Yeah." And, well, I didn't really know it. All 12 of us knew and know this way. I don't know if any other medicine man or woman knows about it. I really don't, but the 12 inners do. And suddenly the head nurse came in off shift. He wanted to hear what was going on. And he says, "Well, can you share how?" Now, folks, this is why I want you to write it down. It's very important. We have a lot of people coming home from the wars that have got pieces missing. We have people in car accidents, people overseas. Listen to you, this, Arabians, if you're hearing it, Muslims, I don't care. You're all my brothers and sisters. I love you all. But people that have got missing parts, we are, the scripture says, never mind Muslims, don't get upset. This is just something I am saying. Scripture said, God said, let's make man in our image, which is not, you know, I'm not Chinese, I'm not a big man, I'm not a lizard. So what image is he talking about? Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three. And as you read the Bible, those that do, it says body, mind, and spirit is man, three. We are literally triplets. You comb your hair, you brush your teeth, and you don't know, but you're superimposed with two others. So we have three. We are three people, literally, soul, mind, and body. Spirit the mind is a soul, and the mind is not the brain. It's all. But anyway, that's another story. But the spirit, the Christians say, "See, that's your soul." No. That's a nagual. That's an angel you're born with. All are born with this inborn knowledge. There is but one God. Call him what you may, or it. You're born with it. But that's another story. But nevertheless, we're three. And we have consciousness, subconsciousness, but we have a deep, 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 deep third consciousness. That third consciousness says, "No, my toe is not off, Red Elk. It's there. And I'm looking at it, and I know better. It's not there, right?" But the deep, deep, deep says, "No, you were born with that darn thing. It's yours. It's been with you all your life, and nobody's taking it away. It's there." So it says, "Look," and it makes it itch or ache or whatnot. "I got to cut my toenail." You know, you got a feeling. Yeah. And it's not there. So all you've got to do is say somebody with their leg cut off, "Please get this out. Get this out." Music.
Yeah, we'll finish this up when we come back. I want to hear this. We'll be back. And then, of course, we're going to talk about this great vision that he sees with our special guest, Red Elk. Hey, by the way, tomorrow night, well, I guess Wednesday night, which could be now, I guess, Alex Jones will be our guest for our chat for you Streamlink members. So make sure you're joining early. It's good timing to chat with Alex Jones, especially in light of this bizarre story about building number 7 that we talked about in the first hour. So we'll be back in a moment with Red Elk on Coast to Coast AM. Well, Red Elk, you're talking about that third kind of deep consciousness, and I'll let you pick it up from there.
All right, my brother. Thank you. And please, before we take callers, I'd like to finish up. One of your questions is, can we change it? What's happening?
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll take calls next hour.
Hi, hi. Here's what you do. Please, if anybody has, anyone that has a body part missing and you know, outside part type thing, simply say a leg is cut off, part of a leg, a foot, the whole darn thing. It doesn't matter, or an arm or whatnot. As long as it isn't the head, you can do this.
Yeah.
But there it is. You see the stump. Consciously, you know darn well it's off. Deep, deep down. Deep down, I was born with it. No, it's not gone. That's what is, you know, causing this pain and itching and tickling and whatnot. So, simply act as if it is there. Rub it. Scratch it. Massage it. I know it's air. You know it's air. But the deep consciousness is saying, aha, see, I told you. And, well, I guess you're right. So you're conning the one that's trying to convince you that it's there. It's that simple. In a matter of just a few short moments to minutes, the pain, that you know, shooting pain in that leg that's not there is gone. Or that wild itch that the... God, I wish I could itch that thing. Well, itch it. Massage it. Now, remember, if a leg's gone, go down that air, empty air, squeezing or whatever you need to do, and you don't squeeze your hand together because your leg wasn't that dang skinny. You understand?
Right.
Act as if you're really handling the leg that was there, just like the other leg that is there. And go... on the ankle, go up the non-existent foot, you know, and massage it, and so it disappears and it never comes back ever. I told this to the surgeon and the head nurse, and they gave me two numbers, one in Vermont, I believe, and one in California, two nurses, and asked me to please call them at my expense. Yeah, but nevertheless, I did, and they have started teaching that. The surgeon and the nurse, she shook her head when the surgeon said this. In our college days, we're told there is nothing that can be done for this. People have just got to live with it. Folks, we have soldiers that are hurting, itching, scratching, you know, want to, but it's not there. Just go ahead and do it. It is there to the deep, deep consciousness. And it stops. Well, the surgeon, I went home after the inspection, and the surgeon called me about 4 days later. He said, Red Elk, I've had a young man had his lower half of his lower leg cut off just 2 days after I did you, and is driving him up a wall. Could I give him your phone number? And he did call me, this young man. And he had a caretaker, you know, because he's convalescing. And I talked to her first, and I said, now, let me talk to him. And I did, and I explained what it's all about. Well, I saw the surgeon again a month later, and he said, this guy said, I've got to meet that man. I haven't had an itch or anything since. Now, this is 2 years ago, and I saw the surgeon here just last month when he was working on my granddaughter from a car accident. And he said, Red Elk, that guy's got a paraplegic, or one of those weird legs, you know. And he says, I saw him here just about 5 weeks ago, and he's doing great. I've asked him about it. He hasn't got a lick of problem with it, you know, the pulse pain and stuff. And he said, here. And he gave me a paper. I was in the office, and he gave me, had the secretary bring in a paper signed by him, a full report, so that I could get a hold of VHW or anybody. Uh-huh. But nobody wants to listen.
It's like mind over matter, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Now, furthermore, surprise, surprise, I can grow my foot, my missing toe back. I have a friend that cut his grandma, I think it is, in a van, not a bandsaw, but doing some building welds around skill saws at the table.
Yeah, seriously.
And he's growing his back. And science says we can grow back, you know, missing parts back. It's just that you don't really believe it.
While they're working on it, and you may be right, that may all happen soon.
All right. Thank you. But people, please get this knowledge out. It's so simple, and it works. And call it Red Elk Medicine if you want. I don't care. But let's help everybody on this planet that has that problem, whether they're what you call enemy or friend or whatnot. They're still brothers and sisters.
All right. Now, we were talking about our ability to change the future.
Yes. Thank you, my brother. Listen, we, Earth, is Nineveh. God said to Nineveh, an event, a big event at that time. But these events in the Bible are also foretellings of how you can trust on what happened here to now. And literally, if we turn away from our wrongdoing before the sight of the Great One, and 85 to 87% of Earth's population must do this. Like mine, say, God, I've really screwed up my life. I'm sorry, Papa. And mean it. Really mean it. Then Nineveh won't be destroyed in 3 days. It'll go to the next generation until they screw up and don't get right. We can put off the Earth shift that we're headed for. And look, the four horsemen are on the earth running around now, all four loose. And we're in for a heck of a time, but we can stop it. We brought it.
And what happens? What happens if we don't, Red Elk?
All hell's going to break loose, and it stops at Armageddon.
Well, and like you said, we're right at the beginning of it now, aren't we?
Yeah. All right, allow me to give my number out one more time.
Please, sure thing. I'll even let you do it next hour, too.
Well, thank you very much. Folks, if you're interested, you don't have to get this, but if you're interested, all the money that I get out of this goes on trying to catch up on all these dang back bills and goes on these trips that I take. The Indians try to help me as best they can, but there's never enough, gas money and stuff. But my DVD, you can get through the my website, which is redelk.org, O-R-G, or www.redelk.org. And, or you can call 888-999-1985. And there's only one line there, but he's up been keeping his fingers crossed.
Well, keep him awake, huh?
You might as well. Poor guy. But hey, thank you, George. And I will have a book coming out called Short Stories. And what it does, it correlates the Native American way.
We've got a huge audience in Seattle. They listen to us on our number one station there, KVI Red Elk.
And occasionally, I have to go to that station because you drift in and out here.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. You mentioned that city, that something could happen. They could that tsunami hits it. What do you
what
see?
What happens is that, brother, put your pointing finger right in front of your face somewhere there. You know, not close, but look at your pointing finger. Pointing straight, horizontal, all right?
All right.
Now, the next one, pull it out and make a V, but on its side. So one's horizontal and the other one's going down, right?
Okay.
Now, on the end of the pointing finger is Seattle. And this is all landmass in front of it. The rest of it down to the palm, toward the palm of your hand. And Seattle is sitting on a plot of earth shaped like this giant V. It's deep. And it's going to split off behind Seattle and slide into Puget Sound, creating a tsunami wave so great that, and this affects up into Alberta, up into Alberta and down the coast, so great that the wave it creates goes over Snoqualmie Pass, many passes, stops the Columbia River trying to run out. It's trying to run in. They collide. The river backs up the creeks that feed the river and all the rivers that feed that river and on and on and on. Dams break the whole kit and caboodle. And tell if anybody knows, get a map if you don't. Look at Washington State. And you end up with Spokane, which is up towards the side of Washington, towards Idaho. You end up with Puget Sound on the east side of Spokane.
Oh, my gosh. Now, when do you foresee this?
All I know is it's going to be. Now, I foresee Mount Si by North Bend, Washington State blowing up, and I talked with the mountain. And I was so excited, I didn't check. It did not happen the time the mountain told me this will be within, I think, 2.5 or 3 years. That time frame passed about a month ago, month and a half ago. It did not take place. I did not check. When I'm told by Papa, it is going to be. Now, I did check, and Papa says this. It will be. Period. It will be, as I told. But not in the time frame the mountain told. What stopped it? I don't know. But I was standing there talking back and forth with Big Si and Little Si. And so it will take place. And but time frame on the earthquake for this, I don't know. Well, when Mount Rainier goes, it's going to take the scientists by surprise. They'll find activity increase, but, you know, nothing really drastic, they think, and boom, up it goes.
Let's hope it's 1,000 years from now, right?
No, unfortunately, it will, all of this, unless we change it, all of this will happen within 25 years, definitely within 25. You can pretty much count by the year 12.
So you believe that our humankind, through this, what, mind and mass consciousness, that we can fix things.
Well, sure. Look, you can go out and look at a cloud, concentrate on it, and tell the cloud to do a circle. Turn backwards.
Do you need millions of people to do it together, or can one person do this?
I wish one person was that strong.
Yeah.
But all, you know, you and I, George, we are one. We came from the same mind womb.
Yep.
And many things, you look in the scripture, you know, Pentecost, they were in like mind. Many of these things require like mind. Never mind your differences of color and your hate of that man type and this man type and our wars. Love God, love earth, love all your brothers and sisters, and turn away from doing wrong and saying, Papa, I'm sorry, and the earth Nineveh, we are the Ninevites now. Well, it will stop it cold until the generation that comes up that decides that that's a bunch of malarkey.
Are you a believer, Red Elk, in reincarnation?
Yes, but not at all. It is not. It's not at all the way it's explained. Boy, Mr. Pennant, the young man,
Ian.
He told me he was going to come and see me, and he didn't.
He didn't?
No, he did not. Furthermore, worse than that is he didn't notify me. I put that month off doing other things because I wasn't sure what date.
Right, we'll have a little chat with you.
Well, wait one. So I got a hold of him.
Oh, you did? All right.
And he said another time, negative. Now, we go by scriptures at the end of Hioka. You go to somebody that's, you know, and you say, hey, you got some problems, let's talk it over. I'm not interested, you know, that type of thing. Then you go back with others. I'm not interested. And then the third time, I'm not interested. You say, that's all right, you're done. We're going to have another thing to do with you. Ian Pennant did it 3 times to me. Caused me 3 months.
Well, don't put a spell on him or anything like
that. Oh, no. That's sorcery. I'm not allowed to do that.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. But the first time to an inner Hioka, it's called an accident. The second time, a slap in the face. The third time, hey, you ain't worth it. You You know, that type of deal. And then I would love to sit down with you people. I would bend your ears. I would show you Indian and Bible are identical, except we didn't know how to write, so we did it in ceremony. And I could, you know, you can walk on water, levitate. Christ did it. The things I've done, you can do. You Bible believers don't believe the Bible. You believe you write.
You said Lucifer was afraid of you. How come?
Because I love him, and I'm not afraid of him.
I mean, does he just, he doesn't want to grab you and pull you down to the pits of hell?
God occasionally, Daddy occasionally has an assignment for me and sends me down to the pits of hell. Sends me into literally the domain of Lucifer. And the first time I went, I was cocky. And I ended up with a very large bite mark, lower and upper teeth mark on my back from a demon. And I learned right then and there, I go down, don't be cocky, you dumb idiot. And so when I go down with all kinds of angel support with me. They're there with me.
Protecting you?
You bet. And I'm not afraid of the demons. I'm not afraid of Lucifer. And now I go down there when I'm ordered down to do what he wants done. Now understand, these are all tunnels connected in his particular area with very small caves, like each cave's maybe a big room or something, you know, like in a house. But this goes all around the world, and this is his area and his generals, the angels that originally followed. And I open my mouth and I yell out, I do, and this is true. I say, hey, Lucifer, it's me, Red Hawk. I'm here. I love you. Come on, I want to talk to you. And that echoes down to, I don't know, maybe all around the earth. I don't know. But it echo. And eventually, as I'm trotting down this hallway of a tunnel, I'll hear, attack, and he's running like crazy. And the demons come out of the woodwork, in a sense. You know, they got their little clothes that they hide in.
It's like a mini war down there?
Oh, when I'm down there. But it's a war they can't win. I'm not touched. I love them, too.
Well, if I ever end up down there, make sure you're down there to pull me out of there, would you?
Hey, look, our Lord Christ Jesus, Big Brother, we call him, he went down there. Read the scriptures, and he went down there during his death, Hades, and he told the people, you don't belong here, and they all laughed at him. Well, he left, and there's a reason for that. I could share things with you and that are in the Bible, the most misunderstood book in the world ever.
This has been fascinating with you. Well, stay with us, Red Hawk. We're going to take some phone calls. I'm also going to chat with you about little people when we come back, all right?
Sweet.
Because you've got some great stories about that. But this will be your hour now. We'll open up the phone lines. We've got one more hour to go with Red Elk. So make sure you make that call. And his website, redelk.org. I'll give out his toll-free number again for this incredible Great Vision DVD. 888-999-1985. It's that simple. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.